Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano and Walker Wildman, and now Steve Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Tim.
Let me just say this. You know, we were talking last hour about preaching the Bible and the whole counsel of God, and we take that very seriously here at AFR when we choose and or allow people to go on our network. So I am, you know, I am proud in the right way of the gospel teachers, the Bible teachers that we have. Dr. David Jeremiah, for example.
They're solid.
Dr. Michael Youssef, Adrian Rogers. He passed away, what, 10 years ago or so, but his teaching is still very popular.
Still very relevant.
And still very by popular, I mean well-liked by our listening audience. We have other Bible teachers. Jeff Shreve. Mm-hmm. Jeff Shreve on each evening here on AFR. Excellent Bible teacher. And others that we have. I can't think of them all. But our Bible program, Brother Burton, Alex each afternoon.
Right.
We take that very seriously, and those people I just mentioned take the Word of God very seriously. So, there you go. You know, this is a day and age in which we live, which I think the Bible says people want their ears to be tickled, right? Maybe that's been true down through the ages. I think that's probably human nature. We want to be told, especially with the gospel and with the Christian life, somebody come along and say it's easy. Hey, just do this and this, and you know,
yeah,
sort of a minimalist approach to the Christian faith, and never diving into the meat and potatoes of.
Yeah, you got to call people to repentance. That's part of the gospel.
Pretty fundamental, isn't it?
Yep.
All right, Steve.
Good morning.
What do you got for us, Steve?
Well, here's a school in Virginia that takes its faith seriously in the whole counsel of God. It is Emmanuel Christian School. It's an elementary school in Virginia. And second lady, Karen Pence, has taken a job at this school. And she is catching no little bit of heat from the gay activists out there who don't like the fact that this school holds to a biblical standard of morality. And she's taking her share of heat for this. And it comes as a surprise for some reason to most people that a Christian school would hold Christian values. That just baffles me.
By the way, excuse me,
Dylan. Yeah.
Lest I leave anyone out, I was listening, I'm sorry to revert to this, but I just wanted to mention.
Alex Trebek?
No.
Different Alex.
Maybe a nice man, but not a Bible teacher. We have on our network Bible teachers, I would call them. David Jeremiah, Dr. Robert Jeffress, and Alistair Begg, who's heard right after our show's over, mm-hmm. coming up in about 22 minutes each day, weekday. And we have others, Jeff Shreve from Texarkana, a host of From His Heart, which is aired each evening, 6 o'clock Central Time here on AFR. Excellent program. Pastor Jeff does there, teaching the Word of God. Love Worth Finding with Adrian Rogers. I mentioned Michael Youssef with Leading the Way. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss. How do you pronounce her last
Walgamuth?
Name? Yeah. So, you know, those are some of the Bible teaching programs we have on during the week. And teaching the Bible is a... Well, you've taught the Bible for several decades now, right?
Yes, yeah, since the early 80s.
How would you describe... and I'm being serious now, the responsibility you feel as a Bible teacher?
Well, because I am bringing the very words of life of God. And that's why, you know, Walker's right. You have to teach the full counsel of God, because we have a responsibility as Bible teachers. I was in the pastorate for, you know, 35 years too. And so we have a responsibility to God's sheep. And you have to feed them what God tells us to feed them. You have to feed them everything they need, and they need more than just happy, feel-good stuff. Now, sometimes that's an encouragement. Sometimes you need that encouraging, you know, that God does have a plan for your life, and God does want you to be blessed, you know, however you define that. But you have got to teach people everything the Word says. Because if God thought it was important enough to be in the Bible teacher has to think it's important enough to feed it to God's sheep.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's, I'm not trying to oversimplify it, but that is, I mean, what parent would feed their kid cotton candy all day long?
Every meal.
Yeah, every meal. Well, they wouldn't do that because they love their children. And they realize, okay, you can have a little bit of cotton candy, nothing wrong with that. But you got to have your vegetables, you got to have some meat,
right,
you got to have
right.
dairy, you got to have all the vitamins, because that's what's going to help you grow and become strong.
And you're saying there are some popular teachers, there are some popular, quote, leaders or pastors in this, that it's easy to draw an audience if all you're giving them is cotton candy.
Right. And I don't know enough, honestly, about Joel Osteen to make a comment one way or the other. I have heard
but there are
some
others
things
who do that.
But
there
are, I'm sure there are people out there. And what I'm saying to our listeners is, you need a steady diet of everything, because otherwise you're not going to have a healthy spiritual life.
Yeah.
So the requirement, it really is on you. It's not on me, and it's not on us to go out and find heretics and say, don't listen to them. You need to belong to a church that's feeding you spiritually. The responsibility is yours to be discerning.
Yeah. Amen, brother. It has nothing to do with what Steve introduced as our topic.
It has everything to do with it, actually.
But I did want to revisit that for just a few minutes, because I know, you know, because I, as I say, we take the Bible teachers we have on AFR are fundamentalist, if you will. By fundamentalist, I mean they are
orthodox.
They are orthodox.
They're teaching the fundamentals.
They believe the fundamentals, and they believe in the inerrancy
and inspiration of the
Word of
God. And let me just add one other thing, because this is
important. It is important.
I want our listeners to know we take this very seriously in terms of our responsibility before God. This is a Christian ministry. We take it very, we take that responsibility seriously when we pray about, and we are trying to be as discerning as possible before we let someone on the airwaves, just like a pastor. And deacons, elders, whatever you've got in your church, should be very discerning about who they put in the pulpit to speak to the, God's people. And we take that seriously here.
Yeah.
And yet here I am.
All right, go ahead. We've got the vice president's wife.
Yeah, I think
Mike
this
Pence.
Is actually has everything to do with
now,
what you guys are talking to.
Okay, what does she do now?
Well, again, she's going. She took a job at a Christian school in Virginia, which takes the Word of God seriously. It's teaching the broccoli or the Brussels sprouts to use Ed's metaphor there. And it will not affirm LGBT students. It won't let openly gay teachers into its school. It basically upholds biblical standards when it comes to marriage. And I'm sure it holds biblical standards when it comes to life and
most, and gender.
And gender and other teachings. So the left is kind of going a little batty about this. They don't understand how it is that a Christian school could actually hold Christian points of view. I don't. It's a strange argument to me.
Well, and are they not demanding that she not teach there?
The head
is that what they're saying?
The head of GLAAD, which is the LGBT bully group, called on Karen Pence to resign from the job, saying it was disturbing that she would put her stamp of approval on an institution that actively targets LGBTQ students. Mm-hmm. She said, when young people are coming to terms with their sexual orientation and gender identity, they deserve to have support from the adults in their life. So, as opposed to have truth from Scripture, I suppose.
Well, Walker, to me, this is all you need to know about what LGBT. Now, GLAAD is the Gay Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. They've been around since the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is all you need to know if you want to know what these groups would want to do to churches and schools and Christian colleges. What they're demanding Karen Pence do is what they would do to all the... They'd shut them down, I believe.
Yeah, this is clear anti-Christian bigotry. They do not like and they despise what God's Word says about human sexuality. And virtually, if you don't agree with what the Bible says about that, you don't agree with what the Bible says about many other things. And so, but this is not just about, you know, back in 2015 and before that, it was, they had the talking points that, we just want same-sex marriage. We just want same-sex marriage.
They didn't even start there. They started with, we just want civil unions. We just want to be left alone and to be able to...
Yeah, but my point is they start at what seems in the public view as a quote reasonable position. You know, let's just compromise, get a middle ground here. It's America after all. And then they get what they want, and then they keep moving and they keep advancing. And now they're going after Christian schools, Christian businesses, and Christians in general, because they want us. At the end of the day, it's about denouncing our beliefs. They want Christians to denounce their biblical views and submit to whatever the secular orthodoxy is. But good for Karen Pence. I read the mission statement for the school and all the standards. Excellent school, it looks like, in Virginia.
Emmanuel Christian School.
And she taught there for several years when he was a congressman, the vice president was a congressman.
She's back. She's got a higher visibility now, which is also good. Some are fighting back against the bullying. I wanted to tell you about the Center for Immigration Studies, which is suing the Southern Poverty Law Center and its hate list. Under RICO statutes, the ones they go after organized crime with, they're saying
racketeering
that they got a racket going there, and they say Center for Immigration Studies says that being on the hate list has cost them tens of thousands of dollars, and the reason they can make that claim is because GuideStar, for one, which is a clearinghouse that recommends nonprofits, shunned them, later reconsidered. But at first took them off a list of approved charities because of the Southern Poverty Hate List, and Amazon Smile, a program by Amazon to allow users to donate money to nonprofits, also cited the hate list as a reason to terminate the account for the Center for Immigration Studies. So they've got a good case that it's cost them money and that they are not. They are for sensible immigration. Fewer immigrants, the ones that we need, and a warmer welcome is what they say to them.
Well, this is kind of the first time I think that Southern Poverty Law Center is going to be embroiled in a RICO lawsuit. Mm-hmm. So we're going to find out how that flies. I'm not an attorney, a lawyer, or anything like that. I'm not sure how much success they'll have using. I don't like the use of RICO statutes for cultural battles necessarily. This law, which was created to fight actual mobs, organized crime.
It stands for the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act.
It's been used against pro-life groups. I don't know. Maybe it morphed somewhere along the line, but we will find out if it's an effective weapon to use against the SPLC. But they've been begging for a lawsuit for a long time.
Yeah, and another interesting aspect to this, separate than the RICO lawsuit, is that for years, Southern Poverty Law Center stored millions of dollars in offshore accounts in the Cayman Islands, I think upwards of $300 million. And they're a 501c3 nonprofit. And so I'm sure there's loopholes, and they're probably legal when it comes to accounting and IRS regulations. But how on earth a, quote, nonprofit is supposed to is allowed to store $300 million in the Cayman Islands and get away with it? That there's something unethical about that. And but who knows? We'll see if this RICO suit, how it goes.
My household is a nonprofit, but not on purpose. a Georgia man has been arrested with a plot to attack the White House. This guy happened to be exchanging information with undercover FBI investigators. His name was Hasher Jalal Taheb. He was 21. He'd never fired a gun in his life, but he made arrangements to have a rocket launcher and some other weapons, some guns and such. The FBI kept him on the... on the string here, and they actually brought him a truckload of weapons and bombs that had been deactivated. And they brought this tractor trailer up. He hands them over his car for payment. He traded a car for it. He puts the guns, deactivated guns and bombs in his other vehicle, and as soon as he shuts the door, they arrest him. FBI on the case here, plot against the White House.
Well, one website I'm reading about some of the details of this calls this guy a radicalized nitwit. So this guy was not the sharpest knife in the drawer. We're talking about Hashir Jalal Tahib. But he wanted to take this rocket launcher and put around in the White House. And a lot, you know, we've been knocking the FBI some here in terms of the upper echelon.
We need to
say publicly, probably too, that there are a lot of regular FBI caseworkers and agents who are doing a bang on job catching bad guys. So we need
to speak.
Bang
on.
Oh, bang on. Oh, all right.
Boom.
That's Fred's influence. That's like a Canadian or British thing. But anyway, yeah, so they caught this guy. They were stringing him along, and then they had a stand.
He had a hand-drawn diagram of the ground floor of the West Wing, and he said they would have taken straight hot off the script of a Hollywood movie. He was going to approach the White House from a back road. I don't know if there are those in Washington, D.C., causing distraction for the police, and then would proceed to the White House using the anti-tank weapon to blow open a door and then take down as many people and do as much damage as possible. He needed a Rambo or some
jihadi,
bad guy. But
a Muslim jihadi?
Is an American jihadi. That
well, it's not right for you to say Muslim, Tim, because not all Muslims are jihadis.
But all jihadis are Muslim.
Yes. I was tongue-in-cheek, folks.
By definition,
I was,
You know, and this all started from a tip. A tip from someone in the Atlanta, Georgia area that tipped off the FBI. So the whole, saying see something, say something does work sometimes.
This is reading this story from The Smoking Gun. This is a link from the Drudge Report. It says, while acknowledging his lack of experience with weapons, Tahib, seen it right, assured his cohorts, I guess the FBI agents, that he had never shot a gun but could learn easily and had watched some videos of how grenades explode.
Yeah, he's an expert.
This was not going to end well one way or the other for this guy.
No.
This guy was going to blow himself up
before he got
out of
his truck.
Well, he expected
to be a martyr. He expected to encounter the 70.
Are you a martyr if you
if you're stupid?
If you blow yourself up before you can kill someone?
I don't know. I think if the intent is there, you get the 70 Virginians in heaven.
Virginians. You know what?
I've been to Virginia, and that ain't heaven.
This is
almost heaven.
That's West Virginia.
No.
In all seriousness about this topic, there's no telling what our law enforcement and FBI and CIA and so forth have to deal with on a daily basis that we never hear about.
Right.
Yeah.
To protect our interests, not only here at home but around the world, and protect human lives. And there is a problem. We've mentioned this many times, and there's been a problem for a long time within the Muslim faith of a certain percentage of their followers that subscribe to jihad. And now, by jihad, I mean killing non-Muslims in order to make Allah happy.
Right. Infidels.
That's in essence, right? That's the you ask yourself, how would a man like this, want to... Well, in this case, he wanted to fire it into the White House, so he was taking aim at the leader of the great Satan, right? Which this guy happily lives in.
Yeah.
Yes, living in America.
How these people want to live in America, and then they want to bring us down. But the point is, that jihad mentality continues to be a problem within Islam, and so you're having to contend with that. These people are motivated by their religion, their belief system. They think that killing the infidel, which is anybody but people who believe like them, is something that Allah wants them to do, right?
Right.
So that explains, you wonder, how could somebody blow themselves up or fly into a building and commit suicide? Who would do that? Well, you would do it if you thought immediately after you die, you're going to have eternal life with Allah, or, you know, bliss or whatever like that. And that's your only way. Islam does not teach, unlike Christianity, Christianity teaches you trust in Christ, you have eternal life. Islam teaches it's whatever Allah wills, and you don't know till after you die whatever He wills, right? Am I right about that?
That's unless. Well, and that, the only guarantee
is if you commit, if you're a martyr.
Right.
How do you become a martyr so that you can have a guarantee of going to paradise? Is you commit an act of jihad. That's why these people do what they do. So it's not a mental illness, okay? People are crazy, then do things that are nuts, and you go, well, that guy's whacked out. That's the reason he did what he did, you know, killed all these people or whatever. That does happen. Mental illness leads to horrific crimes. But when you see people like this fella, what's his name?
Talib.
Okay.
Talib is the...
last name. Hashir Jalal Talib. Okay. Tahib, I'm sorry.
Tahib. Yeah.
So a lot of these folks, you go... You know, these jihadis, a lot of them people go, well, that was the nicest neighbor.
Yes.
He was the nicest man. He helped us all the time. I don't know how he could have done this.
Right.
Well, what I've just explained to you is the reason they can do what they do.
Now, they wouldn't say that about someone who howled at the moon in the middle of the night. They would say, that guy was nuts.
Yes.
But these are people who, they go to the grocery store, how are you, Mrs. So-and-so.
It's almost always like that. Right. There's always no tipping off of people's behavior. What do you got? We got a couple minutes.
Let's give a shout out to Chick-fil-A. Everybody knows that Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays. Mm-hmm. Well, a Chick-fil-A in, I had the town here a second ago, a Chick-fil-A in southern Alabama opened up on a Sunday so that it could have a birthday party for Elijah Sprague. Elijah Sprague is a 14-year-old boy with autism whose sole joy, one of his sole joys in life, is going to Chick-fil-A. So the management there said, we're going to do something special for him on a Sunday. The employees came in on what would be their day off, and they did this nice deed for this kid. So hats off to Chick-fil-A. I hear this every so often from them, that they go above and beyond.
I got a confession to make right
here.
Yes,
sir.
Maybe I shouldn't make it with a minute to go here.
Well, no, that's the time to make it.
On the program, so I have no time to contextualize or explain myself should I be misunderstood. But I have driven by Chick-fil-A's on Sundays wishing they were open. And then I've had to repent.
Hey, I can go one better than that.
Okay.
I was on a trip. Yeah. In fact, I think I was with your son, Wesley.
Yeah.
This was a speaking engagement, and we were coming back on a Sunday morning or a Sunday afternoon or whatever. We pulled off the highway, got in, went to the drive-thru window of a Chick-fil-A, and then we realized, we said, oh, my goodness, it's Sunday. It's
Sunday.
They're closed.
They're not up.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we commend Chick-fil-A.
For closing on
Sundays for their employees to be able to go to church. And
despite the fact that they have one fewer day of the week than any of the other restaurants, they are more popular and more profitable than almost any other restaurant out there.
Right.
Well, their food is delicious.
It is my pleasure to eat there.
Yeah, and the service is
very good.
Top notch. All right. Thank you.
I would consider that a confession, Tim. We're all right there with you.
Okay. Well, I'm not the only one.
We're all sinners when it comes to wishing that
Chick-fil-A was open on Sunday. Sometimes.
That's right.
When you need your Chick-fil-A fix and they're closed, just a little moment of sadness. But then you realize why they're doing it, and you say, I shouldn't feel this way. I should be grateful that Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays, and I am. Steve, thank you.
My pleasure.
All right, Ed and Walker, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Have a great day, everybody. We shall see you back here tomorrow with Trivia Friday, right?
Right.
Okay.